Food Friday, and we're celebrating one of those things that can create true happiness and unity. What is it? For the answer, we turn to Martin Short.
Nothing brings people together like a common enemy. That or a good cheese plate.
And we agree. We love a good cheese board. And platters and boards are having a moment. From social media trends like butter boards and girl dinner snack trays to those elaborate photogenic tables you see at weddings, they are in. Our next guest says, we don't need to go overboard, though, when it comes to putting together a tasty, memorable cheese board. He's here to share some simple, budget-friendly ways we can make a crowd-pleasing spread for our next gathering. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite kind of cheese to put on a cheese board? Do you have a signature element that you always add to your party trays and platters to make them stand out? What questions do you have about putting a good party tray together? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ken Monteleone is the creative director and owner of Formagination, an artisan cheese shop in Madison. Ken, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, good to have you. And as I mentioned, we see a lot of these trays on social media. Some of them are pretty wild. They are expensive, glamorous. We don't necessarily need to go in that direction, though, do we?
I totally agree. During the pandemic, people had a lot of time on their hands, so building a cheese board became like an art activity. And yes, food should look beautiful because we obviously eat with our eyes first, but you can do it in all sorts of ways. And I think keeping it as reasonable as possible within your budget makes a lot of sense.
And if we're thinking about putting together a cheese board for our next gathering, what are some of the questions we should back up and ask ourselves before we go out there and start buying?
Well, the first thing I would do is go with what you like. And, you know, the first, what I like to do is I like to, is if you like cheddar, then make sure you have a cheddar on your plate. But before you go out and shop, look in your refrigerator because there's a lot of things in your pantry and your refrigerator you may be able to use to put that board together. So, you know, during the holidays, to me, it's a great way to take the stress out of entertaining and just come up with some great Wisconsin cheese and some pairings to go with it, and then let your creativity go from there and create a nice board for you and your friends.
And speaking of great Wisconsin cheese, you were very kind to us today and you brought a platter up to the studio with you. Could you talk first about the cheeses you picked out?
Yeah. So what I did when we were looking at this board is, you know, during the holidays, people are gathering with friends and family. You don't always know their taste. So I always put two crowd-pleasing cheeses on a board and then one adventurous cheese. So what I did is Wisconsin, we're known for cheddar. So why not start with the great Hook's five-year cheddar? You know, Hook's does a great job of aging cheddars up to 20 years, but a five-year is kind of that middle zone before it becomes too, it's sharp enough, but it becomes a little smooth and you can start to taste those crystals in it. So we start with the cheddar and then we move up from there. Another crowd-pleasing cheese is Sartori does an amazing job of creating some unique flavors. On the tray today, we put the Balavitano Sartori. And the reason I like that cheese is that plum and sweetness, if you're drinking wine, it's a perfect companion. And there's so many things that can pair on your board with the Sartori Balavitano Merlot. And then kind of that adventurous cheese is one of the most decorated cheese in Wisconsin, and that's Pleasant Ridge Reserve. It's made by Andy Hatch in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. What makes this cheese special is it is one of the most awarded cheeses in the country, and rightfully so, because he goes to great lengths to craft this cheese. His cows are grazing on pastures. They're eating legumes. They're eating floral notes. They're eating quality product throughout the grazing season, which produce wonderful milk. So that's also on our board today.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest examples of what they call an alpine cheese that
Correct.
Has those nutty flavors to it. What are some other good alpine cheeses people should keep an eye out for?
There are so many out there, and Wisconsin's known for alpine cheeses because a lot of people that moved to Wisconsin in the 185 years ago were from Europe, so they brought their Swiss traditions. A good Emmental is always good. Roth also does some wonderful cheeses. They have a cheese called the Grand Cru that I would definitely put on any board. But it goes on and on. We also have some Cave Age cheddars. I don't know if you're familiar with Bluemont Dairy. Oh,
so tasty.
A wonderful bandage cheddar. That would also be a wonderful cheese for a board.
Yeah, I love having that chance on the board to expose people to something new, a cheese that sort of tells a story. And the other cheese from Uplands cheese, which makes Pleasant Ridge, is Rush Creek Reserve. And that, if we're willing to go there, can be a great centerpiece. Could you tell us about that one?
Yeah, Rush Creek is one of those cheeses Andy introduced in 2010, so it's celebrating his 13th year. What makes that cheese special? It's only available when the cows aren't grazing on the summer pastures. That's kind of his winter cheese. And for a cheesemaker to only make two cheeses, I mean, that is a commitment to greatness, because he's putting all his resources in Pleasant Ridge Reserve in the spring and summer months, and then coming up with this Rush Creek that's actually wrapped in a spruce bark, and it's modeled after a French cheese. And what makes it unique, and it can be a wonderful centerpiece for any board, is you cut the top off, you could heat it in a brie baker, and it becomes like a mini fondue. And it pairs with so many wonderful things, not only from potatoes and root vegetables, but just dipping it in bread can be the centerpiece of any event you're having during the holidays.
We're talking with Ken Monteleone right now, creative director and owner of Fromagination, an artisan cheese shop in Madison. And we're talking how to put together a great cheese board, a great party platter for your next gathering. You can call in too at 800-642-1234 with things you like to put on a tray or questions you have about putting a good one together. Now, Ken, you've got a lot of other great stuff on this board you brought up today. I see sugared cranberries, crackers, crisps, figs. It's gorgeous. When we're putting together one for our next party, should we be thinking about things to pair directly with the cheese, like have a one-to-one pairing ratio, or just sort of fill it out with things that we think could work?
Well, you kind of start with the cheese. To me, start your base with three cheeses. Mm-hmm. We like to go with odd numbers, so 3, 5, 8 cheeses. I like to say 3 is a good number for any event. And then think about what pairs best with the 3 cheeses on the board. What I like to say is, in Wisconsin, I said, you know, cheddars are what we do, so why not pair it with cranberries? We're one of the largest producers of cranberries in the country. And during the holidays, you not only have the fresh cranberries that we actually sugar, you can get some simple syrup and put sugar on them so it has a festive look, and then you can taste the cranberries raw, or we also have sweetened cranberries. And cranberries, to me, go perfect with cheddar. The other thing that I have on the board today is apricots. You know, we think of dried fruits in the winter months, and apricots, because of the pineapple notes that sometimes you taste in the Pleasant Ridge Reserve, that's a perfect complement to enjoying the Uplands Pleasant Ridge Reserve. And then you kind of go from there. So you start with your cheeses. You can cut it in various ways, and we can talk about that later in terms of what techniques, in terms of really showcasing the best flavors of the cheese are. But then kind of just fill it in, you know, so everything from crackers to something crunchy. So on the board today, we have some corn nuts. You can do snap peas. You know, it's not only dried fruits and nuts and savory items. Also think fresh fruits and vegetables. Also pair nicely with cheese. And then you just kind of expand it, the landscape, as you kind of work your way around the board.
Yeah. We are taking your calls also on this conversation about cheese trays and platters at 800-642-1234. And we've got someone on the phones right now. Chris is with us in Evansville. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thank you very much for the information. I'm just wondering about a cheese that has horseradish. What could you recommend? Thank you.
Oh, Chris, thanks for the call. Ken, anything you know about with horseradish?
Yeah, I think thanks for the call. Thanks for calling in today. I think horseradish, I think charcuterie. So I would do some cured meats, would pair perfectly with a horseradish cheese. Some mustard would also accent it. Some olive tapenade would go great. Some bread that you toast and put some olive oil on it would go great with the horseradish cheese. There's so many options. So what was your first, when you think horseradish, what do you think of, Chris?
Oh, Chris, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Everything you mentioned sounds really good. I was thinking kind of the same thing, like some crusty bread, maybe grilled or melted a little bit with some onion on it.
Yeah, gotcha. The other thing that comes delicious to mind, that sounds delicious, is summer sausage would also go great with a horseradish cheese. And in Wisconsin, we have plenty of great summer sausages available.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for that call. And Ken, you mentioned earlier it's important to slice a cheese the right way for what kind of cheese it is. How do we go about that?
Yeah, so there's always these questions. Do you eat the rind or you don't eat the rind? Like cheeses like Pleasant Ridge Reserve, a lot of work goes into that rind. You know, Andy Hatch and his team are actually rubbing and washing that cheese daily. So it's part of what makes that cheese great is the care that goes in from the rind and as it seeps into the cheese. So the rule of thumb is if it's a wax rind, obviously don't eat it. But if it's a wash rind cheese, taste it. If you like it, obviously eat it. If not, just put it aside. But what we like to do on cheeses like Pleasant Ridge Reserve, we like to cut it in long triangles because you want to taste from the rind all the way to the core of the cheese. Mm. So if you cube the cheese, you're going to miss some of those flavors. So that's the reason that sometimes we don't cube cheeses. And aesthetically, it looks a lot better on a board when it's cut in a long triangle. And some exceptions to that would be on our tray today, we have Hook's 5-Year Cheddar. Traditionally, you can cube 5-Year Cheddar, but if you're trying to do the art on a cheese board, why not do it in little matchsticks? So just being creative, you don't have to buy tons of books to find out the perfect board. Just let your imagination go wild and do what you think looks great. And that's part of the fun, is we eat with our eyes first. So putting the beauty into, you're not having to cook, so we're taking the stress out of all the labor that goes into cooking, so you can put that creativity on creating your own board.
Yeah, rule one, it should be fun, right?
It should be fun, yes.
We got a question from our producer, Beatrice, who asked, can we eat the brie rind or not?
Oh, I would definitely eat the brie rind. I think that's part of the beauty of bries. And a lot of people do come to the shop and ask, is the rind on a brie edible? And again, taste it. If you like it, I would definitely eat it. A lot of people in the holiday seasons, they will wrap bries in phyllo dough and bake it. So we're definitely in the brie season, and there's so many things you can do with a great brie, but I would definitely eat the rind.
We're talking with Ken Monteleone right now, owner of Fromagination in Madison. We're talking about how to put together a great cheese board, a great party platter for your next gathering, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you the platter or board maker for your family gatherings? What makes yours stand out? Are there certain cheeses or meats you like to put on your boards? And what are your favorite Wisconsin ingredients to share with your family and friends? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Ken Monteleone, creative director and owner of Fromagination, an artisan cheese shop in Madison. It's Food Friday, and we're talking about a Wisconsin favorite, cheese boards. We're taking your calls, your questions, too, at 800-642-1234. Ken, before the break, we were talking about pairings and making sure that, a pairing doesn't overwhelm one or the other. The big elephant in the room is blue cheese. How do you incorporate blue cheese onto a board, or do you?
Yeah, blue cheese is one of those categories you just never know if you're entertaining people that you don't know their taste. Is always leave it on its own board. The challenge with blue cheese, I happen to love blue cheese, but they're very strong and pungent in flavor. So once you taste a blue cheese, it can fatigue your palate. So you may not be able to taste anything else on your board. So if you want to serve a blue cheese, you can do a blue cheese board if you're that adventurous, or keep the blue cheese on its own. I love pairing blue cheese with figs, walnuts, honey. There's so many things that go great with blue cheese. Peanut brittle, chocolate.
Peanut brittle, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing what complements a blue cheese. And to me, it can be a dessert. You know, it can be its own end-of-dinner dessert. So I would definitely not shy away from blue cheeses, but if you're putting it on a board, I'd be very careful because you may not be able to taste some of the other flavors once you dive into that blue cheese.
Sure. And you mentioned honey, which is great with blue cheese. I also love fig jam.
Fig is, with
all kinds of cheeses. Probably best to have those in sort of a small container on a tray, though.
Yeah, I'd put them in a little ramekin. I mean, there's so many options. This is your time, if you're building a board, is go into your pantry and pull out some of that stuff that you never use, especially if you're entertaining for the holidays. And just make that part of your board because it's amazing what creativity you can come up with when you just start exploring the options that you may have at home and some of the things that just sit in your pantry or in your cupboards throughout the year, you can use them as part of your board.
And during the holidays especially, we have people coming in from out of state, and it's a good chance to just show off a little bit, right, about what Wisconsin has to offer. Obviously, the cheeses are there. Are there other items for the board, those meats, crackers, things like that, that you would recommend come from Wisconsin that we can be proud about?
Yeah, we're so blessed in Wisconsin because dairy represents a big part of our economy and spinoff business the last, since I have the store, since I've had the shop 16 years, have really come up, like Potter's Crackers made here locally. There's Preserve Makers. There's so many different companies doing wonderful charcuterie. From in Madison, we have Underground Meats doing some wonderful cured meats. In the Driftless region, we have so many options from Driftless Provisions. So it's endless. Cranberries, we mentioned, is a big thing in Wisconsin. So it's endless in terms of what's available here locally.
Let's go back to the phones right now. We have Randy on the phone with us in Verona. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about?
I've often attempted to warm up brie, but in the microwave it turns to soup, and unless I'm really attentive. And so I'm wondering with that, with brie as well as the Rush Creek, is it better just to leave it out in the air all day so it gets soft, or is there a better way to warm it prior to serving?
Randy, thanks for the question. Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, Randy, that is a great question. And what I like to say is a couple of options for you. First of all, we always get the question, what temperature should you serve any cheese? And the answer to that is let the cheese breathe at room temperature for at least 30 minutes before serving. And in terms of answering your question regarding a brie, what I would do is you can let it sit out for over an hour so it gets really soft. Or you can put it in the oven in a bowl, if you don't have a little brie baker, at 250. So gently warm it up. I would not put the temperature higher than 250. And then just check it after 15 minutes to the ripeness or the softness that you prefer. The mistake a lot of people make is putting it in the microwave, it will become rubbery. Or preheating it at 350, that's way too high for a brie cheese. So starting at a very gentle temperature should get you where you want to go.
Randy, thanks for that call. Ken, we talked earlier about being adventurous on our cheese board and having that one, maybe two cheeses that push people out of their comfort zone. One way to do that is with different types of milk, right?
Oh, most definitely. We haven't talked about, in Wisconsin, we're known for cow's milk, but there's some wonderful cheesemakers doing sheep milk and goat milk. And for the holidays, we have one cheesemaker that comes to mind, and that's Blakesville Creamery. They're actually doing two cheeses only for the holidays. One is called Holiday Cheer, and it's their version of a Wisco Old Fashioned. So what they do, it's wrapped in a grape leaf. It's soaked in a brandy. They also add some orange to it, and the cheese is amazing. It looks like a little present when you unwrap it. So that would be one cheese from Blakesville out of Port Washington. The other one is truffles. We're in the truffle season for the holidays. People tend to love anything truffle. And we have Blakesville is doing a cheese called the Truffle Shuffle. And that is a goat milk cheese that also has some truffles in it. And then you have the whole category of sheep milk cheeses. That, to me, that is pushing some people out of their comfort zone that tend to eat only cow's milk cheese.
Yeah, Blakesville is about 10 minutes from where I grew up, actually. They're a newer cheesemaker, but incredible stuff.
Yeah, really, really very tasty. Great stuff, yes.
We got an email from Grant, who said that Chalet Cheese Co-op in Monroe makes a hybrid cheese called Panaro, which is a blend of Gouda and Parmesan. They also sell an aged version of this cheese that is a stunner. Grant, thanks for that email. Ken, have you heard of that one?
No, thank you for telling me about that. I'm going to have to look into that. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Grant, thanks for the recommendation there. And still, maybe time for your calls or recommendations at 800-642-1234. Ken, as we put together the cheeses and other things on a board, a lot of work goes into these cheeses, a lot of time, so they can be on the expensive end. Are there sort of more inexpensive cheeses that are still going to be crowd pleasers and still really tasty stuff?
Oh, there's so many cheeses out there. I think there's a cheese for everyone out there, and this kind of, it doesn't have to be the most expensive cheese to be on your board. In Wisconsin, we're blessed to have so many varieties. I believe there's 600 varieties of cheeses and over 100 of different styles of cheese at all price ranges. So, go out and explore what you like and taste it first. I definitely wouldn't buy, if you're buying artisan cheeses, I would really want to taste before you buy. But most shops in Wisconsin will allow you to do that because, after all, I like to say we dream in cheese in the state of Wisconsin.
And, you know, everything old is new again. The cheese ball, the classic cheese ball, in or out?
I think they're in. I think you can get great, very creative with the cheese ball. So no shame at all in serving the cheese ball because I think it brings back a lot of childhood memories. And, you know, cheese balls were popular in the 70s, and I think there's so many creative ways to make your own cheese ball.
And what should we be thinking about in terms of, we have our board on the table, how should we set people up to eat off it, to serve themselves?
Yeah, that's always tricky because now that we're kind of coming out of the pandemic, people are gathering again, and you want to make sure you have utensils that are appropriate so that you don't have those double dippers going at your cheese board. So just having some tongs next to each cheese. Normally, if you're doing a large gathering, I would slice the cheeses. If it's a very small gathering, you can have a knife out so you can show them how to cut the first few slices, and then they can cut after that. So just have utensils next to the cheeses and some of the companions so people kind of can maneuver their way around the board.
We've talked about some of them already, but what are the other cheeses like that are tasting really good right now that you're excited about this time of year?
Oh, that there are so many. I eat cheese daily, but a lot of the truffle cheeses I'm really liking right now. And anything soaked, there's so many different flavors of cheeses, from cheeses soaked in various wines to spicy cheeses. And spicy cheeses, I think, are having a moment right now. So I would definitely go to your grocery store and explore all the different cheeses that are either soaked in beer and wine, in habanero peppers. One cheese that I really liked is called the Deer Creek Rattlesnake. Mm-hmm. It's soaked in tequila and habanero peppers. So if you like spicy, there's a cheese for everyone. So you name a category and you can probably find a cheese in that category.
Well, Ken, you've given us a lot to work with and a lot to think about and to snack on here in the studio. So thanks for coming up today.
It's been a pleasure to join you today. Thank you.
Ken Monteleone is creative director and owner of Formaggination. We've been talking about how to put together a great cheese board for our next family gathering.